بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. In this ayat kareema, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing us as believers, as those or from those who have submitted to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And made a pledge and have made a contract with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all His commands, fulfill them, execute them, and try to better their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this address is an address that draws the attention of the individual Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, ittaqullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gets straight to the point, make sure that you are considerate of not doing anything that's going to upset your relationship with me. And for all those commands that I have asked you to do and to carry out, do them diligently. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha wal tanzur. Check out, look at, make sure you assess. Nafsum ma qaddamat ligad. What you as an individual send forth, what you accumulate in your account of deeds, what you bank with me. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha waltanzur nafsum ma qaddamat ligad wattaqullah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reinstate and reinforce the requirement Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is placing upon an individual, that make sure you gauge all your actions properly. Make sure you gauge all your actions properly so that they can be accepted by me. in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we've been talking about لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, inculcating this aspect of taqwa, which is going to make us better in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah. From this we understand, from لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, that this is a state upon an individual, a condition upon an individual that is perpetually changing and fluctuating. Sometimes there's a great element of, let's call it taqwa, in a person, and sometimes it's lesser. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants this level of taqwa to be at a degree that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with. For each individual there's a different level. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. A person who is a non-believer, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him or her, and alhamdulillah, may I be sacrificed upon the Ghazans, that they have become a means of hidayat for thousands of non-Muslims for them to come into the fold of Islam. Historically, there has never been a period wherein so many, well, I shouldn't say that, I will be wrong when I say that, but at a level that we can understand and comprehend, within our age, there hasn't been a time like this where so many people have embraced Islam constantly, even from the beginning of the month of Ramadan. This activist, Sean King, has been very active and passionate in regards to Palestine and the plight of the Palestinians for years. And of course, he's been interacting with Muslims, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him hidayat, and so he embraced Islam right at the beginning of this month. Sometime, I don't know, you people will know him. Is it Lil John or someone? He's a rapper. Who knows him? Everyone's going to keep quiet. You know him. Good. Huh? You've heard by him. You've listened to him? Lil John. He became a Muslim this Ramzan. He proclaimed the Shahada and he committed to this deen of ours. And so many, many, many have actually embraced since over the last 6 months. But there's something about this month, one of these YouTubers who speaks positively about Islam, he said that this month of Ramadan is the Islamic Renaissance. You understand that? Islamic Renaissance. So, mashallah, they've all studied English. and they're a little stumped with this word. So there's been a major impact all over the world. Because remember, Hidayat is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are different levels for that individual who has just embraced Islam. His level of taqwa is different. And then as you go further up, those that are awliya, their level of taqwa is different. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to each individual's capacity, saying according to your capacity, make sure you have this understanding that you don't upset me. And do what you can to please me. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah. For this aspect of taqwa to become better, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it so that you fast in the day and stand in the night and then commit yourself for a full month. The reason being, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, and this has been our discussion through these nights, or through these mornings, or through these days. وَلْتَنْزُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لَغَدْ. On a daily basis, take account, analyze, and judge yourself. In what I have done today, how good have I been? What have I done? Why did I do that? How did I do that? It's a matter of taking accounts. The Sufis, they say that a Sufi should on a daily basis take muhasabah. Muhasabah meaning take account of yourself. At the end of the day, from the time you woke up till the time you went to sleep, what did you do? How did you do it? Who did you upset? Who didn't you upset? Did you do something right? Did you do something wrong? All these things, it's called muhasabah. And so, in this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, watch yourself, your actions, what you do. Understand this very clearly. That the word taqwa is not just to do with external acts of worship, but it also regulates the internal of an individual, all the way from thoughts to feelings to emotions. There are two ways that taqwa impacts a person. One is in the zahir, the scene, what you see of an individual, how they act, what they say and you hear. And the other is internally, the heart, the condition of the heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at both of these, each one separately. How is the condition of the heart? Why is actions or her actions such? And this is what needs to be understood. A lot of us misunderstand that taqwa is just the zahiri part and nothing to do with the internal. The internal impacts the zahir more so than we understand. In this story that I related to you of Mubarak, Mubarak had understood his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to a level far exceeding the ordinary man. And I'm going to use one word. Why was that? Why was it that Mubarak's relationship or Mubarak's understanding of his situation was at that level, at that degree, where he had looked at one situation and made a judgment for himself and told himself, I'm not going to eat from the pomegranate because I don't have permission. You following me?
Yes.
Or are you tired and you want to sleep? It's a few minutes, inshallah. I know probably some of us have fallen asleep. It's okay. It happens. We're all tired. Example, you have a relationship with somebody, you have a friend, a bosom friend, a very good friend, best friend, and you have a relationship with them. In this relationship with them, you take into consideration both things, how you behave with that person at a level where you can see, and also at a level that you can't see. As an observer, when you see two people meet, you can see from a distance, when two people meet, if there is a relationship between them where there is an element of affection involved, from the apparent you can make a judgment and say there is a lot of affection between the two. We do that, we can see these things. And when there isn't and two people are meeting and you see their hands touch and shake hands, and immediately they separate their hands, you can to some extent make a judgment and say, they're not too friendly with each other, even though they may, in the zahiri, they're meeting. But there's a difference in the state internally. Are you with me? Or is this too complicated for at this time in the morning? It might be. It's okay? So make it more complicated? Alhamdulillah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never made anything complicated. He simplified it for the Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. So even as an observer, you see the two different states in an individual. So this, in both states, one state of affection, one state of dislike, let's call it dislike. In the state of affection, both these individuals are very observant and careful in their relationship with each other not to upset this balance. In the same way, on the other end of the scale which we're talking about, where two people meet each other, but there's an element of dislike in their heart for each other. Even there, they are cautious and wary in their relationship with each other. There's a common denominator, common factor between these two, where one in affection, one in dislike. The common denominator or the common factor, and I'm going to use one word, it's sensitive. It's what? Sensitive. The two people have affection for each other are sensitive of their relationship. These two individuals who dislike each other, they are sensitive of their relationship. The ones that have affection for each other, their sensitiveness dictates how they behave with each other. They don't want to upset each other. On the other hand, at the end of the dislike, even they are sensitive in their relationship with each other. But in both contexts, it's in a different way. The one with affection, they don't want to spoil their relationship. The one for dislike, well, let him say this to me and I'll have him for it. As soon as he gives me a bad look, this is what I'm going to do to him. So being wary that if this person, I don't like him, but I'm meeting him, as soon as he says something to me or looks at me in a bad way, I'm going to give it to him. Do you understand there's a difference between the two? Okay. For a believer in his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is already an element of affection between his creator and the servant. And لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ provides an element of sensitivity. And this degree of sensitivity increases the more an individual understands his or her relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sensitivity being that I don't want to upset my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by doing something that is going to upset my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even at a micro level. You follow me? Yes. Not at just, you know, okay, a person doesn't read Quran one day. Or a person didn't give zakat one year. He's guilty of it. These are things a person can mistakenly do. But there is another level, and it's a level that is at a very, it runs very deep. And this is what Mubarak was aware of. He had an awareness, otherwise he would not have behaved in this manner. You with me? Yes. Imam Bukhari, rahmatullah alayhi, in those days, obviously, they used to have slaves and slave girls and so on. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi had a slave girl. And Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, of course, he's he's an author and he writes hadith. And so with people like that, you know, when you go to see them or when you interact with them, they have books everywhere and they're writing and there's some paper here, some paper here. And so, and in those days they didn't have, you know, like these keypads where you can type stuff. Well, they didn't have pens and paper the way we do. They used to have like parchments and paper and, you know, ink pots. So Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi was sat there, his ink pot was somewhere on the floor and he was sitting and he was doing some writing. So the slave girl came through and she didn't notice and she kicked the ink pot and the ink pot fell and obviously the ink spilled. So angrily she said, "Why don't you make sure the ink pot is kept in a safe place?" At that instant, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi immediately said to this slave girl, "You are free." Now this is another aspect we don't really understand. In those days, when a master had a slave, be it female slave, be it male slave, they were their property. The slave was the property of the master. And it was at the master's discretion to release and free the slave. Once the master says, "You're free," that means they become free, independent. They don't belong to anyone anymore. And when Rasulullah ﷺ began to teach and preach, one of the greatest things Islam has done is brought freedom to slaves. Unfortunately, history, which is written by non-Muslims, they like to demonize Muslims. So they say Muslims did slave trading. It wasn't like that. In fact, Muslims taught to free slaves. Who traded in slaves until the 1800s in America, even until maybe at the beginning of the 1900s? These were the Americans, the white people did. They tortured and they abused the black community. So Islam has taught us that if you have a slave, free them. So Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, on hearing her and her frustration, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi immediately said to her, "I free you." Because he didn't want in any way, of course he was the master, he had the power to react to this reaction from the slave girl. So he did not want to do something that may upset Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so he freed her. And this is what we need to understand, is being sensitive. Is being sensitive to your environment, where you are, what you're doing, who you're talking to, what you're saying, what you're looking at, what you're touching. So we're talking about Mubarak and how his attitude was. And if he was like that in that one particular aspect, then generally he would have been very cautious in all aspects of life. I want to touch just a little bit, and I'm going to finish now. But inshallah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permits, we'll do it over the next couple of days. So there is a positive thing that comes out of Mubarak's story. And there is something that we really need to take into consideration. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Mawlana Zakariya rahmatullah alayhi, he's written a small pamphlet. It's called Ummul Amraz. And in this small kitab, he's initiated it right from the beginning by narrating a story of Sheikh Abu Abdullah Andalusi, rahmatullahi alayh. Some of you have heard this story from me before, some of you have not. And there's a point that I actually want to make from this story. But inshallah, over the next few days, we shall try and learn with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But whatever the case is, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept what we are doing.
Amen.
And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a means of hidayat for us.
Amen.
And a means of betterment in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Amen.
Inshallah we'll do the Khatmi Khajgan. I'm a little tired today. Lights. We'll do the Khatmi Khajgan, we'll do Muraqabah, inshallah, we'll make dua. And I'm going to make a request, and I keep doing it, and I will do it. For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be sensitive in regards to the Palestinians. Take them into consideration, think of them, you know, look at their situation compassionately with sympathy, and make dua for them. You really can't do much, but in the least. And you're in i'tikaf, and it's the month of Ramadan. Even if you're not in i'tikaf, it's the month of Ramadan. And it's over 6 months now. Historically, there has never been a period in this world where people have been persecuted to this level and degree over such a long period of time. World War I, and World War II, both didn't take this long. They were over in a short period of time. This is a massacre and a genocide at a level that is incomprehensible. And some of, obviously, not all, everyone here, but those that are in i'tikaf haven't. Those that are not in i'tikaf must have come across the situation at Shifa Hospital and what transpired in Shifa Hospital and what happened. There are analysts and there are people that, you know, at a level of recognition that are speaking about it, and each and every one of them is horrified. One of them made a comment that these soldiers, they seem to be drugged up and they are high on something, and they are like a death squad, and they have done such atrocities and things that are incomprehensible. How can anyone do that? Questions are being asked 6 months too late. After over 50,000 deaths, 14,000, 15,000 children. We eat and we sleep. That's all we do. So in the least, what we can do is we can think about them and make dua for them. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم.
لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. إلا بالله لا حول ولا قوة 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 إلا بالله
اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم
اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم
إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون
إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إنا لله وإنا
صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم
اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم.
الله ولي الذين آمنوا. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Focus upon your heart and contemplate the mercy coming down upon the heart. And out of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this mercy, the heart is saying, Allah, Allah, Allah. لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.